Just a minute. I'm coming.
FBI, open up!
Just a minute. Hello, everybody. This is Legal Man. Welcome to the show. It's going to be a good episode. I'm going to talk about what's unconstitutional, what the Constitution could ever mean, and show people that constitutional conservatism, which pretends to be an intellectual pursuit, is absolutely and totally hollow. And I know people don't like to hear that, but for people who don't know me, I'm a lawyer. I've practiced for more than 30 years. I'm America's most trusted and beloved lawyer because I tell people the truth. And the truth is, I was a constitutional conservative, and I believed all the complete nonsense that that entire so-called philosophy supports. I used to push it all the time, believed all the nonsense about the document and the freedom and the liberty, and just so dumb what I believed. And then about 25 years ago, I got the internet. And in fairly short order, I figured out, oh my God, what a complete scam. I got conned by this whole thing. It's a grift to keep me on a tax-paying plantation. And when I figured that out, I became self-certified as a master practitioner. And I don't need constitutional conservative jokers anymore. I've also given myself a Lifetime Achievement Award for the incredible work I've done on these podcasts, with hundreds and hundreds of shows explaining the actual system to people. And I played Mr. Jones in the movie Jones Plantation, and when that movie came out, I awarded myself the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the highest award that any civilian can award themselves. And I think I earned that for the incredible job I did. And I like making fun of awards and credentials because credentialing is the way they control people. They force you to get licenses and registrations and certifications. And in order to get to the right school, you have to learn certain officialdom, repeat certain officialdom. And if you step out of line, they take your license and they destroy your career, just like everybody saw happen during COVID. They do this with every single profession. This is how they control information. So I like to mock it so people will catch on and maybe make up their own fake awards and credentials that they can throw around just to show how ridiculous it all is. Okay, enough of all that. Let's go ahead and get this show going. So I want to make a show today and go over a bunch of these constant catchphrases and responses that people give when it comes to the so-called Constitution, the way it's supposed to work, how it can theoretically work, et cetera, because I get so tired of hearing people defend this constitutional system when it obviously doesn't do any of the things they claim. From day one, our rights have shrunk, the government has grown, the debt has grown, government power has grown. There's literally no period of time of any sort, like, say, 10 or 15, 20-year period, where it was like, wow, this is so much freer now than it ever was. See, it's never been like that. And it's not like that anywhere in the world when you have these governments. And yet people continue to believe these ridiculous catchphrases about voting and liberty and the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, and three co-equal branches and checks and balances and all this utter and complete nonsense I've destroyed over and over and over again with simple facts and irrefutable logic on this show. But I made the whole show about, well, we gotta have something, gotta have something. What's your plan? What's your plan? And I'm just so sick and tired of people demanding that I come up with a plan to replace a criminal enterprise. And if I can't give them every possible detail of how it will work and why it would be better and on and on and on, then they continue to defend the criminal enterprise. Government is a criminal enterprise. Any enterprise that takes your money without your consent and spends it however they care to is a criminal enterprise. The only reason you don't understand that, think that, see that with government is because of endless years, literally an entire lifetime, 24/7 at all times, of brainwashing on this topic and the fact that this exists all over the world. There is no place in the world where you can view a legitimate government where it only protected natural rights, protected and enforced natural laws, and didn't just have the right to arbitrarily tax its people and make up currencies and do all the crazy shit, regulate, so-called regulate, meaning arbitrarily decide what you can do, what you can contract for, what light bulbs you have to use, what level of measurements and calculations and weights, and go down the list of all the insane, stupid shit government does. you must go to school, you can't say this, you can't say that, you have to get this license. See, there's nowhere in the world where anybody can view an alternative government. All they can view is even more insane forms of government where the people are literally kept as actual slaves inside the system and just simply killed whenever the government cares to. Our government would love to be able to do that, but they run on a different scam, this entire scam that we're a freedom machine and they get the people to voluntarily support it. And therefore, even though they don't have as much power in the government that's overt, they have much more stability, so they know they can get away with more shit in the long run. Those other kinds of systems are unsustainable because eventually the people catch on and get pissed off and throw them off. But of course, all they do is give themselves another government because the brainwashing is so totally and completely thorough all over the world about government. There's literally nobody ever discussing the idea that the governments don't have any right, authority, power that's legitimate in any form or fashion unless it's consensually given to them by the people they exercise it over. And instead of being able to have an explanation of that, instead of having a discussion of that, all you hear is that the government gets its power from the Constitution, it was ratified and properly ratified and blah, 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 which really just means a few thousand people a couple hundred years ago supposedly voted in what was obviously a completely rigged up election and voting system, which I've also discussed on multiple occasions in my podcast, and anyone can go look it up. But that doesn't do anything. It doesn't address the problem of validity. And the way people step around that is they say, well, we have to have something. So they constantly move the goalpost. You say, tell me how the government gets any legitimate authority, and they tell you about this thing from a couple hundred years ago that in no possible legal theory can a group of people I've never met who died long before I was born ever bind me to some agreement. It's just absurd. And they certainly can't bind me to an agreement that gives arbitrary power to a group of people to do basically anything they want to me. Take whatever they want from me, run armed soldiers in and kill me, take me into their kangaroo courts, run me through, throw me in prisons. It's absurd, the idea that somebody else could ever consent for me to be subjected to that. That's just asinine. And so they have to sidestep the issue of how does the government get any of this authority through any kind of real consent of the people? And then they have to go into this idea when you bring that up that, well, you have to have something. What's your idea? How are we going to do it? Always implying that we have to find a better form of this criminal enterprise. See, that's always the implication, that we have to have this criminal enterprise. Well, if you have to have a criminal enterprise operated in order for society to operate, what does that say about society and whether or not we even want a society? It makes no sense. If we have to have a criminal enterprise overseeing us, what makes you think that through any kind of so-called legal means, you're going to be able to control that criminal enterprise? It makes absolutely no sense at all. These very fundamental questions, they're never addressed. And that's why I'm sick and tired of telling people and having people expect me to provide all these additional solutions. I need somebody to come forward and explain to me how the government has any legitimate authority. And if you can't explain that, or if you give me this circular nonsense about the Constitution, well, how does the Constitution have any? Well, it was ratified. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means some people I never met a couple hundred years ago supposedly cast a ballot. That's not binding in any legal sense on me by any possible stretch of the imagination. It's truly asinine. Under that theory, they could have so-called ratified anything that would have said that the government has a right to just simply come and kill me at any time. Anybody named Legal Man, they can kill. Well, you agreed to it. When? Oh, when they voted a couple hundred years ago. See, that's why it doesn't work. It's not an explanation. And I can challenge anybody to go look. Go dig it up. Go find where PragerU or any of these other stupid fucking so-called constitutional conservative think tanks and universities and public universities explain where the actual authority of government comes from. You will see. It is a nonsensical loop of proper ratification of the Constitution. Well, that doesn't bind anybody else. In fact, one Congress can't even bind another. And nobody has the right to bind me from the past. Just as asinine as it would be for you to think that if we held an election, that we could bind all the people all over the world to that election. In fact, all people all over the world for all times. Why isn't it that? Why isn't that the binding effect? It's idiotic. It's moronic. And the problem with all of it is that it's never addressed. The kinds of things they say about the Constitution are that, one, at a practical level, when you're talking about trying to enforce it, nobody can tell you what it means. See, nobody can tell you what it means at all. And that's why you can get everybody all over the board. You can get this nonsense about strict construction, originalism, and all this other stuff. And then they point to what the founders intended. First of all, we have absolutely nothing from the founders. We have a couple guys' notes and some letters. It's completely irrelevant. There's something called parole evidence rule in all kind of law. That means once you sign the deal, you can't go up and dig up other shit to try to bring in to tell them what the deal's about. You have to look at the actual document. So all these discussions about originalism and looking at people's letters and notes, and all, it's all out the window. The Constitution does not say, and we need to look at all these letters and notes and appendages that they would then attach and reference for then interpretation. They don't say that. It just has a document. So the only thing you can do is interpret the document. And guess what? You've got interpretations all over the place. You've got interpretations that say strict construction, originalism. You read the thing, it says this and that, and this is what the people voted on. Okay, you've got that. What do you have on the other side? You have the Chuck Schumers, the Hillary Clintons, the lib fucking justices that say it's a living, breathing document. They say that. It's all sorts of Supreme Court opinions say that. That's what they say. Okay, well, so if you've got a living, breathing document on one side and an original intent, strict construction on the other, they can never be reconciled. See, those two things can never be reconciled. And what constitutional conservatism pretends is that they're correct and therefore they should win. But they don't win. But they don't win. And when you don't win with it, what happens? What happens? If the Supreme Court hears a case and it's supposedly clear as day and the construction of the document's clear and I've gone through the wording and it's clear as day and the Supreme Court simply finds something else, what is the answer? The answer is that the other thing is the supposed law of the land now. You must follow it. So they don't have to follow the wording of the Constitution. They don't have to follow strict construction. They can make it into a living, breathing document, and they can make the general welfare clause say anything they want. Nothing stops it. Nothing. And under the so-called interpretation that constitutional conservatives give it, which is that the Supreme Court opinions are the law of the land, which is completely asinine. I've explained it countless times. But under their construction, we're all bound to it. This is idiotic. So you're bound to something that they think is wrong. And what is your solution? What can you do about it under the construction of the document? What can you do if the Supreme Court supposedly makes a mistake? They make a mistake. They get it wrong. I hear this all the time. They got it wrong. What can you do? You can't do anything. You have to wait to try to get another case with new people on there years and years and years, decades from now, and hope they get it right. Do they ever get it right? No, they never get it right. That's why the rights have shrunk and shrunk and shrunk, and the government's grown and grown and grown over any significant period of time. People want to point to individual cases and say, see, look at this. They're not working. If any of that stuff worked, our rights would be expanding. Our rights would not be shrinking. There's no place in the world where that works. And so if the Constitution itself can be interpreted in 1,000 different ways, and all you have to do is just go read some opinions. Just go read some opinions. Go listen to talk radio. They'll tell you all about how terrible the decision was this and terrible the decision was that, how this judge makes no sense and that's not true. They'll want to pull up the Federalist Papers or Madison's notes or some letter Ben Franklin wrote. It's moronic. The stuff doesn't matter. Let's just say you're 100% so-called right. What would that even mean? What would it mean to be right about the so-called interpretation of the Constitution? What would it mean? I'm serious. What would it mean? Oh, it would mean that it's clearly, obviously, this and that, and the founders intended. Well, what if someone just disagrees with you? What if they just disagree with you? I've given the example countless times of one or more is more than one, the case I had. I've had plenty of others I could also bring up, but this one's a simple one where we had a great class action. It's a slam dunk winner. The statute was clear. It said the payments are due in one or more payments, then they're covered. Well, it was due in one payment, so obviously it was covered, one or more. The court simply found that in this case, one or more means more than one. What can you do about it? Nothing. It's the exact same thing in every case. So what does it mean to be right? Were we right? Were we right that we should have won that case? Yes. Okay. Did we win it? No, we didn't. So what does it mean to be right? What does that mean in a constitutional sense when the Supreme Court just does whatever it wants? When Congress simply does whatever it wants? You hear it endlessly on constitutional talk radio about how Congress is doing this and it's unconstitutional that, it's unconstitutional this, and the proposal's unconstitutional, and the ruling's unconstitutional, and the regulation's unconstitutional, and Merrick Garland's unconstitutional, and the judge was unconstitutional in the case, and blah, blah, blah. What does any of that mean? What would it mean for them to be right about that? How are they right about it? You have people who totally disagree. Tens of millions, probably more than 100 million people in the country disagree that you're right. Well, what does it mean? Does the general welfare clause mean what the liberals say? Well, obviously grammatical construction says no, but does that matter? No, because they just say it does. Okay, so apparently all that has to happen for that to then not be true anymore is for you to lose a vote. So if they just vote to take your money and then they use that money, hand it out to buy more votes, well, guess what? You're no longer right. Oh, well, we have the Constitution and this and that. Well, it's just ignored. That's just all right in front of people's faces. No amount of looking at the Federalist Papers is binding in any form or fashion, and no judge is bound to it, and neither is Congress, and there's literally no consequence, no personal liability whatsoever to any of these individual actors in government for all the stuff they do. So they're free to go and do stuff that's so-called unconstitutional all day long. No one can even tell you what it means to say it's unconstitutional. People genuinely think in this constitutional conservative movement that it's unconstitutional because the great one on radio said so, and he read the Federalist Papers. Well, there's also the Anti-Federalist Papers. There's also people's interpretation. Where is the judge bound to any of that? He's not. They're not. They just say whatever they want. I just did that show talking about this ridiculous case up there with throwing Trump off the ballot. 14th Amendment. No one even discusses the fact that it was never properly ratified. And it's totally impossible that you could ever properly, correctly ratify a constitutional amendment by having the federal government march in, haul out all the duly elected people in that state government, install a military government, and then vote for the amendment. And say that's constitutional ratification. But that's how we operate in this country. And the Supreme Court wouldn't touch it because it's non-justiciable, meaning that they're just going to let it happen. So what does it mean to be right? Was that right? Is that correct? It's only whatever can be enforced. This is the thing that they constantly confuse. They run around endlessly arguing about these things that literally make no sense, that there's no evidence for at all. If somebody gets a sufficient number of votes, apparently we can just become a completely communist totalitarian state. Apparently. So what is the point of talking about these so-called interpretations of the Constitution? What is the point? If they can say regulate commerce among the states and they can interpret that to mean that they have a right to tell you how much water flushes in your toilet, what can you do about that? What can you actually do about it? What can your vote do about it? It can't do anything about it. What if more people decide that's fine? Well, then that's what it says. What is the point of saying that's not the intention? And the Constitution is there to protect freedoms, but it doesn't protect freedoms. Supreme Court has ruled that you can be conscripted in by the government, even though there's absolutely no authority whatsoever inside the Constitution. And many of the states had it in their own constitutions at the time. So the so-called power and authority was well known, and it wasn't given to the federal government. But they just found it in a Supreme Court case, just said it exists, gave no explanation, none. So is that right? Is that true? Is that correct? What can you do about it? What's the point? What's the point of arguing about it? How can you ever win? And this doesn't even include all the outright corruption. We're talking about people who are genuinely disagreeing with you that the general welfare clause does mean that they can just simply spend and tax and do whatever the hell they want for the general welfare. They just can ignore the fact that there's Article 1, Section 8 has a listing that the entire document is constructed so there's only express limited powers, and that's why you have Article 1, Section 8. They can just ignore that and just say that, well, we believe the General Welfare Clause says that. Okay, well, if your elected politicians have enough votes and they so-called believe that, well, what can you do about that? Nothing. You're supposed to run around organizing to somehow get... How? How can any of this work? They take whatever they want from you. They take that money, they run you in however much debt they care to, and they hand out favors and money, your money, to other people in order to buy favor and votes. They don't need your vote anyway. How many times does somebody say that they're going to go up there and do something and then they don't? Countless. What can you do about it? Nothing. Are they personally liable for the lies they tell? No. These people will get up there. They get interviews all the time. They have debates. They make statements. They have platforms. They just ignore them whenever they want. What happens? What happens? Nothing happens. There's nothing you can do about any of it. This is the part I don't understand, that no matter how clear it is that these statements are just simply meaningless lies. I'm not even talking about Barnum statements. I'm talking about the very fundamental stuff, that the Constitution's a living, breathing document. No, you're supposed to use original intent and strict construction. Okay, well, there's a disagreement. There's no way to settle it. Neither of them so-called right, because there's nothing to the statement that it's right, except that you think it's right, and they don't. They think they're right. So again, I don't understand the thinking of how a system like this, with such fundamental problems, such open, obvious, fundamental problems in the structure that can never be resolved through arguing, debating. It doesn't make any difference. You think you're going to convince Hillary Clinton that she's wrong? Even if she thinks she's wrong, even if she knows she's wrong, she doesn't care. She's doing it for power. That's the corruption part. Where's the corruption? Does having a limited government, being for limited government, keeping the government small, is there any financial incentive whatsoever in anybody in government for taking that position? Is there anybody? No, there's no financial incentive at all. So everybody who speaks about it is in all likelihood a huge liar in government. And you look at what the liberals pass and you say, well, that's outrageous. And then you look at what the conservatives pass. Well, they're for a gigantic military police state with endless spending on the military, endless spy organizations operating inside the government, FBI, CIA, TSA, fucking ATF, this endless agencies and organizations, FDA, all this shit's totally illegal, completely and totally unconstitutional. What can you do about it? Nothing, because to say it's unconstitutional is a meaningless phrase. Nobody can be held to account in government for doing something that's so-called unconstitutional. Nothing. They have no personal liability for all the actions they engage in. None. None. How's that going to stop? Voting? How's that going to work? I just showed you. You already have a situation where you cannot possibly vote them out. All of the incentive is to grow government on every side. And in fact, the conservatives do grow it. Every single time they cave in, we can't risk it. We have to let the government keep running and on and on and on. How can this work? See, they're fundamental descriptions that they fall back on, that the Constitution is the law of the land. They have absolutely no explanation for that whatsoever when questioned about it. A ratification of a document I've gone through again and again, it makes no sense. Can we all ratify something that binds everybody else who's not even here in the future for all times? How about in countries we don't even exist in? The Constitution, it wasn't ratified. In the Western states didn't even exist. Oh, well, they came in and they ratified it. Well, those are people who, again, ratified an acceptance to something that I wasn't alive for. So the problem is always there. The fundamental problem is that nobody can consent on my behalf. Nobody can consent on my behalf. And yet the entire foundation for government is that a few thousand people, a couple hundred years ago, so-called consented on everybody's behalf for all times. It's moronic. So they can't address the very first thing. So constitutional conservatism immediately fails because the Constitution cannot be shown to have any constitutional authority that's in any way binding or legitimate. None. And before we go any further, they need to explain how that could ever happen. And they can't. See, they can't. They just go into, well, we have to have something, and government, and they start talking about governments, and they point to other governments. They point to other criminal enterprises around the world. Yes, okay, the whole thing is one gigantic scam. I agree. It is. That doesn't make it right. Just like them wanting originalism to be true and correct and enforced doesn't make it enforced. And so the fundamental problem with constitutional conservatism is that there's absolutely no basis to even look at the Constitution as a binding document in any form or fashion that could have ever created a legitimate government. It couldn't. It's impossible because almost nobody got to vote on it. So the idea they could just bind everybody is idiotic. Maybe you could be bound to it yourself if you voted for it, but nobody can tell you what it means or says. Hi, it's Legal Man. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you appreciate the unique insight and information I provide, then go over to my Patreon account for The Quash and become a member. I have bonus shows and material, early access, and it's a good place to meet like-minded people. I have people ask me all the time, what can we do, Legal Man? Well, start by voting with your pocketbook. It's the only vote that really counts. Support things that tell people the truth. Getting people to understand the truth is the only solution we have to this insanity. Look, I get it. There are a lot of people who can't afford to support my show with money. But there are a lot of people who can. And if you can and you like the show, you should support it. That's what free markets look like. The people running this scam, they have unlimited funding. I don't have support of that system. In fact, I get harassed because I tell people the truth that they don't want the people to know. So we have to stick together. So go sign up. Now let's get back to the show.
And so the fundamental problem with constitutional conservatism is that there's absolutely no basis to even look at the Constitution as a binding document in any form or fashion that could have ever created a legitimate government. It couldn't. It's impossible because almost nobody got to vote on it. So the idea they could just bind everybody is idiotic. Maybe you could be bound to it yourself if you voted for it, but nobody can tell you what it means or says. Complete and total disagreement about everything it says. It's completely absurd, and yet they tell you it's voluntary. So once you start looking at the fundamental claims and ignore all this nonsense about looking at the Federalist Papers and Madison's notes and originalism, and let's look at the text of the document, they don't have to agree with you. The people on their side have absolutely no obligation to agree with you, and it's very clear they don't. Go read some Supreme Court opinions. You'll see dissents, and you'll see opinions that are partially concurring and partially dissenting, and the opinions are all over the board. The people think about all sorts of different positions. They believe all sorts of utter nonsense. Am I bound to it? It's ludicrous when you look at what it actually is. But they claim that this is the incredibly brilliant system that's been set up, but there can't be any explanation. They tell you about checks and balances. Checks and balances make no sense whatsoever. They aren't true. All of the government has the exact same interest, and that is to grow its own power. To pretend otherwise is simply naive. It's foolish. It's as ridiculous as believing that communism can work. What's the problem with communism that everybody always sees? Is that nobody's willing to work harder so that other people can always be happy and healthy. That's not going to happen. So it's always going to get abused. Well, what's the problem with checks and balances? Well, the government all wants to grow its own power. And so the idea that government's going to check its own power is idiotic. And so it's just as moronic to believe in checks and balances limiting the government as it is to believe that communism can work. And yet the constitutional conservatives imagine themselves to be intellectuals. But none of the issues I'm talking about are ever discussed, ever. It's completely and totally impossible to bind anybody to a legal case who's not in the case. You have to be in the case in order to get bound to the case. But they somehow magically bind everybody to every Supreme Court case that they just happen to issue an opinion on, even if they just cobble together a 5-4 opinion. It makes no sense, literally makes no legal sense. Even the Supreme Court rules itself know that you can't bind anybody to the case unless you have subject matter and personal jurisdiction. And getting personal jurisdiction is very complicated, and you have to have an opportunity to be heard and served and proper, and it has to be the correct jurisdiction, and you have to have the correct venue, and you have to have all these rights protected. None of that exists. They just simply issue an opinion and everybody's bound. Same exact reason I was laughing at these COVID mandates. that somehow they can just issue a mandate and that's it. And again, constitutional conservatives, they didn't step up, stand up, speak up, nothing. Trump declared a national emergency. There's no such thing as a national emergency in the Constitution. You think they didn't know about emergencies before they formed the Constitution? Of course they did. Why didn't they give them the power to expand their power with an emergency? Why? It's not in there. Why didn't they do it? Well, because the government will just declare emergencies just like that. The stupid made up shit from COVID. What do you think Nancy Pelosi will find to be an emergency? Chuck Schumer. Swalwell. What do you think they'll find? Clinton. Obama. Anything they want. Same on the right. Lindsey Graham. Israel gets attacked. It's a national emergency. Everybody has to lock down. It's just, this is why it's not in there. But did constitutional conservatives speak up when Trump declared a national emergency? No. You ask people where they get the authority, they tell you about a statute. Well, a statute's not constitutional if it's not supported by the Constitution, and they can't give themselves this grand new power of declaring national emergencies. That's not possible. But do constitutional conservatives bring it up? No, they're fine with it as long as on their side. Like I said, both sides love growing the government. They got the police state growing on the right and the welfare state growing on the left, and they just grow it together. This is why everything sucks. They do all sorts of things that are so-called unconstitutional. Does anything happen? No. Do the constitutional conservatives and radio speak up and rail against Trump and the outrage of the national emergency with COVID? Trillions and trillions, he said, that needed to be spent because it wasn't the people's fault. They shouldn't suffer. Well, he has no right to spend trillions and trillions of dollars. He has no right to suggest that. Congress has no right to pass it. What does it mean to say they have no right? What does it mean? It's meaningless. It's just a phrase that just says, like, it's not constitutional. They did it. Is there any punishment? Is there any consequence? No. So obviously they do have the so-called right. Or the phrase, they don't have the right, is meaningless. Take your choice. Take your choice to analyze whether they are allowed to. Is a meaningless waste of time when you have a system that's supported by the people that believes that whatever the system ultimately does, it has to go work through the system. That you have to take this thing that's a criminal enterprise that simply takes your money without your consent and does all sorts of shit it's not allowed to do all the time, has for hundreds of years now. Does it every single day. Will send men with guns to kill you, take you off, haul you off in front of a kangaroo court. It's moronic to discuss the idea that they don't have the right to do it. They are doing it. There's no consequence to them doing it. So what does it mean to say they don't have a right? It doesn't mean anything. The same way that they sit there and endlessly analyze all the different unconstitutional things that are going on. So much. Just listen to any talk radio. Listen to any Fox newscast. Read any supposedly conservative newspaper or article or magazine or book. It's just an endless list of so-called violations of the Constitution. It's meaningless. See, that's all meaningless. There's no possible way it can be fixed like this. To pretend this is an intellectual pursuit that you're going to find the answer is not true. Let's just say you found the answer. I've showed people again and again what clearly the meanings are if you want to actually use legal interpretation. The problem with using legal interpretation is that the document completely and totally collapses and fails and doesn't have the ability to do anything. That's the problem with real, legit, legal analysis of the Constitution and the entire structure of government. It completely fails and has no actual authority. And that's why they can't really use legitimate legal analysis of the Constitution. They use this pick and choose system of claiming that, well, it's definitely the law of the land. Okay, well, the very first thing you have to do before you start analyzing what's inside the document is prove that the document itself somehow could have legitimate binding authority. And they can't. There's no legal theory available. None. And the fact that governments all over the world do it and abuse their people and the people are all fools and they never caught on to it because they spend literally tens of billions of dollars all over the world brainwashing people about government and what they should do and driving everybody into policy, that is irrelevant to the simple fact of the truth, which is that it has no legitimate authority. And whether or not you could construct a government that could have legitimate authority is another issue. You could, but it would be very limited. It would only be able to enforce and defend natural rights of the people. And therefore, there'd be absolutely no basis for anybody to want to get into that government, to do it, to drive it, to push it. And that's why it never happens. That's why it never happens. And no amount of voting in the future is going to change this. No amount of arguing in the future is going to change any of this. And if people are okay with this, if people accept this, this idea that they have a fundamentally illegitimate entity in charge of them committing crimes against them, and they want to tell me that it's up to me to come up with a better solution than that, otherwise they're going to keep it, well, they've shown who they are. These people are either completely and totally insane, or they're perfectly happy with having criminals operating over them because they think they can get something from it. In other words, they're criminals themselves. They're perfectly happy to have other people do their dirty work for them so that they can continue to get what they want, even though I've shown them again and again that what they support is a criminal enterprise. Well, if you're supporting the criminal enterprise, then you're a criminal. And to tell me that I have to come up with something that's a better solution for it is nonsense. The first solution is to get rid of the problem, which is the government's a criminal enterprise and it needs to be folded up. Oh, well, that'll cause all sorts of problems. Okay, right. You want to support the criminal enterprise because it helps you. You're part of the criminal enterprise. You're conspiring in the criminal enterprise to keep it running because it's to your benefit to run this criminal enterprise. That's all. You want it to run so you can abuse me and you can abuse anyone else you think you can. You only run around and complain about the Constitution and my rights when the criminal enterprise is doing something to you that you're not too happy about. As long as it's just simply screwing other people, you're fine with it. And it's up to all those people getting screwed in order to come up with a better system. Otherwise, you're going to continue to support the criminal enterprise. It's completely insane and moronic, and the vast majority of people can never, ever even remotely get close to comprehending this, accepting it, living with it in any form or fashion. They have a mentality that's so brainwashed and so slave-like and so scared of actual freedom and what would happen if the so-called government went away that they can never be reached. And a huge other number of people are fully corrupt and are simply liars. Another huge portion of them are phony baloney intellectuals who run around and imagine they're intellectuals because they've read Madison's notes and they believe these Supreme Court opinions. I've just showed you again and again and again, the Supreme Court opinions are all over the board. It doesn't make them true, correct, or anything else. And if you can be all over the board, then the document means nothing. It's totally unenforceable. It fails. It's void for vagueness. If it can be a living document and strict constructionism, it fails. It's void for vagueness. If you can look at it and you can read the General Welfare Clause to mean that the Congress has the authority to basically do anything, or you read it to mean such that it's very limited in only these Article 1, Section 8 areas, and that's really the way it's supposed to be, but both are considered valid and can come down either way in a decision, then the document fails. It's void for vagueness. It's void for vagueness. And this doesn't even include the argument that nobody can empower any person or entity with any kind of authority or power that they don't personally have themselves. And no individual in the entire country has any right to come and tax me at any rate they care to and simply spend it any way they want. Therefore, they have absolutely no authority or power or ability in any legal possible sense to transfer and delegate that to some other entity or person in order to do that. And so it's impossible to construct a government that could ever have the powers that these governments all over the world pretend to have. They're not legitimate. That's all. They're not legitimate. But again, that's just miles too far for the average person because of brainwashing so deep. And really the only thing I wanted to make in this show was just a very clear case of these ideas about Federalist Papers, Madison Notes, originalism, all that's all made up. It's totally made up. The fact that you can take that position is completely and totally countered by the fact that someone takes the opposite position. And if they happen to be a justice on the Supreme Court or a legislature, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it, and there's no personal consequence to them for doing it. And so arguing about it is pointless. It's completely pointless because the entire purpose of government is to grow itself larger and larger. Everybody involved in government wants government to be bigger and larger and stronger and more powerful. Everyone does. They pretend otherwise, but that's not true. And their actions and their votes make it clear that they don't actually believe in a smaller government protecting anybody's rights. And since government is openly a criminal enterprise, as I've shown again and again, if you think you can somehow control it and limit it through so-called legal means, then again, your belief system literally makes no sense and there's no way to approach you with rational conversation. And yet that's exactly what constitutional conservatives believe. And I used to believe all of that nonsensical shit myself. I did for years and years. And then I woke up to the reality and realized how badly fooled I was. And now what I've had to wake up to is the reality that people don't give a shit and that most people are perfectly happy to conspire to commit criminal acts against me all the time in the name of government. They are. They love it. And that's why the government runs them all over the world. And the number of people who can get it, grasp it, accept the reality that we live in is incredibly small. Incredibly small. And it just sucks because they basically just drag down the few of us who can clearly think and want freedom into their mire of criminal horse shit and having to deal with basically just a bunch of low IQ brainwashed fools and corrupt individuals who all gravitate to government and glom onto government systems. And that's the reality. That's what we're stuck in. And the answer, when anyone tells me, well, what's your answer? What's your solution? My solution is you have to get more people to understand the truth. If you don't have that, you're not going to be able to do anything. I can't make people see it. And the vast majority of people who ask me that question, demand an answer to that question, they're not one of the people who can accept it. They aren't. They say they do, but then they turn around and continue to support the government until such time as someone can come up with some better scheme, which they'd also be able to benefit from. They're benefiting from the criminal enterprise of government sufficiently that they're going to continue to support it. That's the reality. That's the reality. Most of the people who ask that stuff demand I provide a solution. It's not a legitimate demand. They don't really want a solution because when I tell them the answer is you have to get more people to believe, they don't even believe themselves. They're not even on board themselves. They're not willing to take any possible hit whatsoever to any of their personal life, their financial life, or any form or fashion in order to do anything about it because the system has to come down. See, the system has to be dismantled entirely because it's criminal and never be rebuilt. But you just can't get people to get on board with that. But hopefully I've made it clear that the constitutional conservative position is not an intellectual position. It's not a legitimate position. It's not true. It's basically just arguing about how many angels can dance on the head of a pen. And if that hasn't become clear to now, through literally 240 years of evidence, and now just decades and decades and decades of just the worst kind of government abuse is doing any and everything to us, while they run around talking about it, oh, it's unconstitutional. If it's not clear by now, it's never going to be clear. It's never going to be clear. And I do maintain that a significant portion, it'd be small, maybe 15 or 20% of the population could catch on. And that's why they keep such a tight lock on this. And they make sure that the people pushing the brainwashing of constitutional conservatism and my constitution and federalism and it's a republic and all this other stupid shit with the voting and the rights and the amendments and all the stupid shit, law and order, they make sure those people who are huge make tens and tens of millions and millions of dollars a year brainwashing people, making sure people never catch on, hear a real truth. And again, that's hardly surprising. The system's going to support and protect itself. And so this is where we are. And I hope it's clear. I hope I've given you guys some points so that when you hear this stupid shit at parties or online or whatever it is, you interact with it and feel like you want to respond to it, you can blow those idiots up. Just blow them up with their moronic stuff. And they'll just live in a denial and call you names and then go away. That's all it'll do. That's why I block people all the time on social media, because they're just a waste of time, the vast majority of the time. They're never, ever, ever going to be able to admit the stupidity that they've been promoting. And I've got no problem admitting to the stupidity I promoted for years and years and years. It made me angry. It made me angry. For most people, they just can't live with it. Too big an ego. It's too big an ego. Can't admit to it. Especially these phony baloney intellectuals. They're hilarious. really hilarious. They really genuinely think because they read Madison's notes or some other stupid shit that they have it down. And they can't answer the most fundamental questions that I've posed here. So anyway, that's all I want to say about it. Thank you to everybody in Patreon. I appreciate you guys. I make the show for you guys at this point, have for quite a while. You know, you have a lot of integrity. It's a depressing situation, but we have to at least stick together for our mental health. Even if we don't have much of a chance in reaching a lot of people, it's the only chance we have. The only chance we have is to reach some people. And yes, I agree, the likelihood is low, but it's the only chance we have. So I'm trying to spend time on what I consider to be the only chance we have. And thank you to the people who help kick some skin in the game and support that. And Jones Plantation, the movie, it's out. I play Mr. Jones. It's a great movie. I hope people go support that movie. Go to jonesplantationfilm.com and buy it. Watch it. Get a gift certificate. Buy some merchandise. Plus, it's coming out on Amazon soon. You can buy it there. Tell people about it. It's a great way to spread the message in baby steps about the system being a complete scam. People aren't going to listen to a podcast. They're not. They're not going to read some in-depth article. But they'll watch a movie. And the movie's entertaining and fun. So thank you to everybody who supports that film. And if you want to, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm LegalMan at US Crime Review. And beyond that, I don't think there's anything else to say, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have been a great audience as usual. Everybody have a nice night or day, wherever you are. Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Let's put your hands together one more time for Legal Man. Great show. Thanks so much. I get to tip your service on the way out.
More quash.